Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dr. Bram Siegel joining us live this morning, Chief of Infectious Diseases at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Dr. Siegel, we're seeing more reopenings around here, yet the COVID hospitalization rate remains below 40 for nearly two straight weeks in Western New York, which includes five counties. You've got to look at that as probably a very positive sign, right?
Oh, yes. I look at our counties certainly as a positive sign. If you look back to most of April and May, the hospitalizations on any given day would vary somewhere between 200 to 250 patients hospitalized. That's not new hospitalizations. That's simply number of people hospitalized on any given day. So if we're in the 30 to 40 range over the past few weeks, that's a clear improvement. Again, going back to April, May, roughly 40% of those hospitalized patients were in the ICU. Now the number of people who require ICU care are way down. So good news for Erie County, good news for Western New York. And when you look at New York State data, it pretty much mirrors those positive trends. So, again, I don't want to jinx the situation. I don't want to say that we don't need to worry about COVID because we absolutely need to. We're certainly at risk for resurgence. But the news in New York State and Erie County, I would say, certainly relative to April, May, and parts of June we're clearly better off now than we were.
When you look at those, and you mentioned ICU patients and in the single digits for the past several days now and kind of staying that way, is there a reason, whether it's treatment or something else, that those numbers have dropped so significantly of people who need ICU care?
No, I don't think that it's new treatment. I think it's the level of community spread has just gone down. So the number of new cases have gone down. The percent of people who have testing who turn out to be positive has also gone way down. And when you look at hospitalizations and ICU admissions, those are sort of trailing indicators or lagging indicators. So first you see the increase in the number of cases, and then later on it's reflected in hospitalizations and, ICU stay. So I would say no, not that there's new therapy, but simply it's reflecting less community spread of COVID-19.
Dr. Siegel, I'm wondering, with this heat wave, some heat-related illnesses can mimic COVID symptoms, right? Like feeling faint or nauseous, maybe sweating, having a headache. But is there a difference between the two? I mean, you must see something else in COVID patients.
Well, it's interesting because, most of my personal experiences in, patients with cancer, but when you kind of look broadly at the clinical presentations of COVID-19. A few months ago, the field, from the CDC and other places, they sort of give clinical criteria of how you might distinguish COVID-19 from influenza and other illness, or even common cold type symptoms. And I would say the manifestation, we've learned that the manifestations of COVID can really be variable. They first, you could have no symptoms, in other words, be asymptomatic. You could be severely ill. You can have other manifestations of infection. So I would say if there's, our testing capacity has never been better. And I would say if there's any concern for COVID, you're just better off being tested than saying, well, I could clearly distinguish COVID from something else.
When you look around the country, you see some of the cases increase across really, I mean, most states. If you were to look at a map of states that were increasing, it's pretty much most of the U.S. Not here, though. How does it affect us here in Western New York, watching some of these other states, you know, beside the obvious, not really being able to go to the other states maybe as freely as you once were?
Oh, it's a big threat. And in many ways, it's avoidable because we now know effective ways to reduce COVID-19 transmission. So we've clearly seen, success in New York State. In Canada, the levels have gone way down. In most of the European Union countries, the levels have gone way down. Many Southeast Asian countries never had a major rise in cases. So the fact that especially in the southern part of the country, it's in essence an outlier when you compare with so many other, Western democracies. We're an outlier as a country. And you're right, it's scary when you look at Florida, when you look at Texas, California, Arizona, many other states where it's really uncontrolled COVID infection. You're seeing in many of these instances exponential increases. They're at a point where there's real concern about exceeding the capacity of hospitals to take care of the patients. In many regions, they don't have adequate testing available. So it's a humanitarian crisis for sure. And then if you look, well, how does that directly affect Western New York? We don't have we don't really have significant community immunity. So when you do these antibody tests, roughly 10% of our region in that ballpark would have had, COVID exposure. And assuming that that's protective from subsequent COVID, it still leaves us with 90% of the population that would still be at risk. So that's in Western New York. And you always worry about, if you travel to these areas where there's just uncontrolled infection, you could bring it back to New York. So, I think the governor's position to do what's, to quarantine people who need to travel to these, high-risk areas makes a lot of sense. And, I would encourage people not to go on vacations to areas where there's uncontrolled COVID. Because we clearly, not only are they at risk, but our broader community is at risk.
Looking at some of these trends, obviously the cases going up throughout the entire country, but I'm not 100% how reliable a lot of this data is. But if you look at the deaths, reported deaths across the U.S., it has gone, down since April and May. Is there any, reasoning behind that? Why would we see one increase so much and the deaths decrease at this point?
Yeah, that is a paradox. So normally deaths and hospitalizations and ICU admissions, like I said before, are trailing markers for increased community spread of COVID. It may be that right now, one thing we do know that many regions, the people, the average age of people who get COVID-19 are younger. So, age is a major driver of hospitalization, ICU admission, and mortality. So It may be that it's more skewed towards younger people, so younger people will just, you know, they'll do better, you know, just much more likely to have an uncomplicated outcome. That being said, when you look at individual states, so, you know, you look at hospitalizations, and they were trending down, and then in many regions, they stopped trending down, and now it's kind of like an inverted hockey stick. It's starting to trend up. And I would say with confidence that, you know, humans are both the reservoir and the vector for COVID-19, right? It's not like Lyme disease where the reservoir is a deer and the tick is a vector. We are the reservoir and the waves transmitted within the community. So if there's widespread transmission, even if it's predominantly amongst younger, healthier people, I still would have a lot of fear that it's not going to be restricted to that population, and it'll spread to parents, grandparents, people with heart disease, lung disease, cancer, etc. I'm glad that that deaths and hospitalizations are lower than expected given the level of community transmission in many areas, but it's an unstable situation, and really there's a great need to try to get it under control, because my fear is if this level continues, and the concern is it may even increase, you know, just the sheer numbers of newly diagnosed cases, that it is going to spread to the higher risk people in the community.
Dr. Siegel, thank you so much. We learn every day about this virus.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.